Hey, welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're continuing a conversation about the public school system. In our last podcast, we focused on what's happened to the public school system from where it was started to where we are today. Today, we're going to focus on the consequences of what's occurred because of what they've done to the public school system, and then how do we make God the issue in this issue, with public education really incubating what we think is violence. Brad Bright, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast.
Great to be here with you, Jim.
All right, we said we're going to talk about consequences today. So in the last podcast, we talked about how the public school system was set up based on the Bible and prayer to create a basis for morality, also for science and mathematics and for literature and all that. I mean, the Bible and God was central to everything that was done. And slowly, God was removed, really starting in the 60s. They just removed God and basically taught our children the last 60 years that you don't need God to live. Okay, so there's consequences to actions like that. We've seen them, we read them in the Old Testament all the time about the Israelites as they walked away from God and started doing their own thing. There was consequences. What are the consequences today of quote-unquote modern education?
Well, what I'd like to start with is talking about Nietzsche and what Nietzsche said. He wrote a parable which he called The Madman, The Parable of the Madman. And it's fascinating to hear what Nietzsche said. He predicted what was going to happen. It's fascinating. Listen to this. He started by, these are excerpts. He said, God is dead and we have killed him. In other words, in the mind of modern man, we have killed the concept of God. God is dead and we have killed him. But then the madman says, I have come too early. He said, my time has not come yet. The tremendous event is still on its way, still traveling. It has not yet reached the ears of men. Lightning and thunder require time. The light of the stars requires time. Deeds require time, even after they are done, before they can be seen and heard. In other words, Nietzsche said, there are consequences that are coming. Now, Nietzsche was an atheist, and he did not believe in God, but he also understood the consequences of not believing in God. And so one of those consequences he talked about was the Ubermann, the Superman who creates meaning out of meaninglessness, who imprints himself on the world and on culture, the Ubermann who takes control, has the courage to do whatever is necessary to become the Ubermann. Think of Hitler. Think of Putin. These men are Ubermanns who have the courage to reach out and create life in their own image. Nietzsche predicted this was going to happen, but we did not understand what that was going to look like. Don Henley, who you know was a member of the Eagles, he wrote a song called The Garden of Allah. And in there he said, there is no wrong, there is no right, only people selling t-shirts. And that's where we are today. You know, morality has become nothing more than a bunch of weaponized slogans. No human is illegal. Women's rights are human rights. Love is love. Well, I say duh, duh, and double duh, but they've been hollowed out. That they're just created in order to advance an agenda rather than reflecting a deeper truth. That's where we are.
You threw in there, women's rights are human rights. Until the last couple of years, women's rights are been thrown to the wayside. That's like, that'd be a great topic for another conversation.
Yep. They've been trampling it, haven't they?
For 50 years, we've been fighting for women's rights, and all of a sudden, we're not fighting for women's rights. All right,
so it's not about right or wrong anymore. It's about whoever has the power and can yell the loudest.
Yeah. All right, so what did that leave us for the default basis for today's educational system? When they removed God, we've got consequences here. Where does it leave us today?
Well, where it leaves us is there's a power struggle. And that's really all it is. It's a power struggle for what I want versus what you want. It's the strong survive and the weak die, right? Survival of the fittest. The strong survive, the weak die. And so in a system like that, God is removed. All that's left is power. And so what do? I demand my rights. And if I don't get them, I intimidate, I resort to violence, I do whatever I need to get my rights. You know, think Hitler's brown shirts, think Ku Klux Klan, think Antifa. I mean, Antifa is a modern version of that as well. I demand my rights, I agitate, I resort to violence and destruction to get my way. I mean, the slogan, no justice, no peace, right? No justice, no peace. What are we saying? We're saying, look, if I don't get my way, there's not going to be any peace. We're going to riot. We're going to loot. We're going to destroy property. We're going to intimidate people. We're going to resort to violence. We are going to harm people. Why? Because that's what you do when you remove God. All that's left is power. All that's left is survival of the fittest. The strong survive. The weak die. And so it's all about power. As Nietzsche said, the will to power.
Wow. Sometimes you paint a very bleak picture, just in case you want to know, Brad. All right, so this modern education
system... That's where
we are. I know, I see. So the modern education system is now 60-plus years old. What have been the results of all the re-engineering of the public system? What do we got today?
Blatant disregard for law, right? Whether it's on the streets, or in business, or in the halls of government. Just blatant disrespect for the law. We have gender deniers, right? Gender deniers destroying women's rights. Destroying all these years of women's athletics. Just destroying it. That's what the gender deniers did. Homosexuals bullying and dragging people into court in order to get their way, in order to force people to approve of their lifestyle. It's just downright bullying. Education system is imploding. You know, SAT scores are still going down. And probably in the next 15, 20 years, half the institutions of higher education are going to close their door. That's where we're going.
Some of that's actually probably a good thing. Just an aside, but some of that's actually probably a good thing. Okay, sorry. I shouldn't have had my comments in there, but boy, that one actually got me excited. All right, so it gets worse though, doesn't it? What else has happened? I mean, we see this stuff, and if we watch the news, we hear this stuff, but what else has happened because of the degradation of the public education system in honor of secularism?
Well, you know, we've killed 68 million of our own children. Their own mothers were complicit in that. I mean, and most of them don't really understand what they did. Why? Because we're not teaching them that life is a precious gift from God. Another Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland, Uvalde. I mean, that's another result, right? 27 school shootings so far this year. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. The median age of the average shooter today is 16 years old. But here's the thing. 96% of the school shootings have been in public schools. 96%. And I haven't found all of the stats on the religious private Christian schools, but on the Catholic schools, in the last 20 years, there's only been one shooting. You see, because they teach kids the basis of morality, they teach kids to have a relationship with God. And that prevents a lot of the alienation, but also builds a moral character into these kids' lives. You realize homicide is now the second leading cause of death in 15 to 34-year-olds and the third leading cause of death in 10 to 14-year-olds. It's just, we're turning our kids into killers because we're not teaching them who God is and why it matters in their lives.
And we know that in the public schools versus private schools, discipline is lacking. And that's something of all my friends that went to Catholic school, they were scared to death of the nuns. If she had a ruler, they were going to behave because that ruler was going to tap their fingers. And so discipline was taught. I mean, it's just one of those things.
But they were also taught that they were accountable to God, and right, therefore they're accountable for their fellow man.
Right. Right. All right. When we come back, lots more of this conversation on public education. Is it actually incubating violence because of what they've done to the system? We'll be right back with more on God is the Issue.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Hey, welcome back to God is the Issue with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg, as we talk today about public education, part two of a conversation talking about, is public education actually incubating violence? We've set up with where did the public education system come from and how has it evolved? And now with modern education, what are some of the consequences of that? Brad, I think it's we know it's true that the public school system has left our kids so hopeless because we've removed God from that and so helpless that they want to kill themselves.
Yeah. We were just talking about the second leading cause of death among young people. The third leading cause of death from 10-year-olds to 34-year-olds is suicide. 10-year-olds. Third leading cause of death is suicide. Our kids are in despair. They have no hope, because how can they have hope if survival of the fittest is the basis of morality? That doesn't give hope, none at all. And so our kids, not only they're not safe from each other, they're not safe from themselves.
You know, one of the things you haven't thrown in there, public education is also really, it's leaned into the decline of the American family. I mean, it just, because it removed parents' involvement from the school system. All right, so we've talked about where do public
education... In fact, in many cases, have forced parents out of the system.
Right, and we're trying to break back in now. We're trying to break back in now.
Yep.
So we've talked about where did the public education system come from? What are the consequences of modern education? We've got to start talking about how do we make God the issue in this issue? We've got to bring hope to this conversation. Because honestly, at times it feels like a tidal wave is coming over you and you get a little bit, I don't know, you just get a little bit discouraged. Is there hope, Brad? How do we make God the issue in this issue in the world of public education?
Well, there is hope, but we've got to change the way we talk about public education. We have to change the way. We have to be crystal clear. We don't want to be mean, but we don't want to pull any punches either. We want to be clear, because here's the point. If you want a child to behave as though God exists, you have to teach him that he does. If you don't teach a child that God exists, he's not going to behave like it, is he? And therefore, here's the critical point. Education that omits God is the primary incubator for lying, cheating, stealing, and yes, violence. And we need to be out there saying that every day, 100 different times, 100 different ways, 100 different settings, until the culture finally has to start paying attention and start saying, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, first,
what are you trying to say?
Say the line again, and then answer, what do you mean?
We have to be out there saying education that omits God is the primary incubator for lying, cheating, stealing, and violence. Because if you want a child to behave as though God exists, you have to teach him that he does. It's that simple. We need to be crystal clear, and we need to be saying that every opportunity we have.
That's an amazing statement, and I wanted you just to sit on it for a second, because education that omits God is the primary incubator for lying, cheating, stealing, and violence. And we have seen such an uptick in violence. It's staggering. I mean, it's staggering. Just the statistics just recently on a weekend across the country, how many people were murdered and shot. All right, so how do we convince people that teaching children about God is a non-negotiable, that it must happen?
We have to give them a reality check. I mean, really, we have to give them a reality check. You know, if God is irrelevant, then the only remaining basis for morality is survival of the fittest. And how do you get from survival of the fittest to saying love your neighbor? How do you get from survival of the fittest to saying racism is wrong? How do you get from survival of the fittest to saying respect women, right? Yeah, I mean, we just got all the women on board with that one. You know, how do you get from survival of the fittest to saying bullying, cheating, stealing, or whatever else is wrong? In fact, how do you get from survival of the fittest to teaching a young Putin that violence is wrong, or a young Salvador Ramos? How do you start with survival of the fittest and teach them that what they did was just wrong? You know, here's the question. Do you think your child in public school will ever really be safe as long as God is not the basis for teaching morality? If we don't teach children who God is, that God exists and who he is, will your child ever be safe? You see, if God doesn't exist, the universe is a very, very scary place.
That reality check, to me, it would come in the form of statistics. It come in the form of news stories. It seems like, Brad, if anybody has their head out of the sand today, would see reality checks from coast to coast, and Alaska and Hawaii too, and all the seven territories we have. But it doesn't seem to catch their attention. I mean, I'm going to go off on a little bit, but let's just look at Chicago. I mean, Chicago's been in the news every weekend for 3 years, since 2020. Okay, so the summer of 2020, 21, and 22. The reality check there is, it's there.
It is.
I mean, 50 people get shot every weekend, but it doesn't seem to wake them up.
No, because we don't talk about cause and effect. All we do is we talk about symptoms and how you deal with the symptoms. Gun control, mental health, dad's not in the household, you know, the breakdown of the family. And all these things are things we need to talk about. But none of those are the cause of all this. The cause of all this is our view of God as a culture and the fact that we don't teach children who God is. See? And so they don't view themselves as accountable to God. And if you're not accountable to God, who are you accountable to in the universe? I don't know.
And public education is at the core of all this, because it used to be the place where kids were taught, and what was taught at home was reinforced at school. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We're talking about public education. Is it really an incubator for violence? And as Brad just so well said, is that if you are removing God from the school, then you are basically, if God does not exist, the universe is a very scary place. We'll be right back with more.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We're talking about public education today. Is public education really the incubator of violence? And I think Brad has laid up a pretty good case that yes, in fact, it is. Because if you remove God from the equation, then it's a primary incubator not only of lying, cheating, stealing, but also violence. Brad, let's keep going deeper, because we want to make God the issue in this. We don't want to look at a world that seems hopeless, because we know that when we bring Jesus into this conversation, the reality of God in the conversation, all of a sudden life has hope. So in light of what you just said, the other day, Whoopi Goldberg was talking about abortion and said, it's not a religious issue, it's a human issue. How would you respond to Whoopi Goldberg? And I bet you'd like to do this.
Ouch. Well, here would be my question for Whoopi, okay? If it's not a religious issue, then what you're saying is God's opinion doesn't matter. Now, let me ask you, if God's opinion doesn't matter, does God's opinion matter on racism? I'll bet you Whoopi would like God's opinion to matter on racism, wouldn't she? But not on abortion. You see, my question is, Whoopi, how do you get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor to saying that racism is wrong? How do you do that? Well, the point is, you can't. See, that's the problem with our public education system today. It starts with survival of the fittest, and then it tries to say that racism is wrong, that misogyny is wrong, that all these things are wrong, but without any real basis. They have their feet firmly planted in midair.
So why? I mean, I remember I took a logic class in college, and they were teaching you how to work through issues. Why is the logic of the public school system so flawed? They say God doesn't matter, but bullying is wrong, mass shootings is wrong. Help us out here.
Well, it's like Nietzsche said. They haven't figured out yet the consequences of what they believe. You know, they're a little slow, right? We need to help them put the pieces together. We need to engage in the conversation and ask the question, how do you get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor? You see, if God doesn't exist, morality is a fairy tale, just like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And I've been saying this for 25 years. It is as true today as it was then. You see, Marx never said, love your neighbor. Darwin never said, love your neighbor. Freud never said, love your neighbor. Voltaire never said, love your neighbor. Only Jesus said, love your neighbor.
And the significance,
that's the bottom line.
Significance of that. Draw it out for us. Just draw me a picture today.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Jesus said, love your neighbor. That has consequences. And why did he say, love your neighbor? He said, love your neighbor because you love God. And if you love God, because God is love, you need to love your neighbor too. That was the significance of it. Survival of the fittest never says, love your neighbor. You can't. When you start with the premise of God does not exist or God is irrelevant, you have no way of getting to saying, love your neighbor. And I've talked about this before, a philosophy prof I sat down with at the University of Washington in Seattle. And we were chatting one day about moral relativism, and we were chatting about it. I said, would you actually do a debate with us on moral relativism? And he said, sure. I said, in favor of moral relativism? And he said, no. He said, moral relativism is a bankrupt theory. He said, it's clear there are moral absolutes of the universe. He said, my only problem is I can't figure out where they come from. This was an atheist philosophy problem. We were just having a conversation between two guys talking about the realities of life. Well, that's the problem of anybody who pulls God out of the context. There's no basis for moral absolutes for saying right is right and wrong is wrong, for saying that violence is wrong. You can feel strongly about it, but you can't make a cogent argument.
Well, in fact, some actually say the violence is okay. The violence is okay. I mean, they're saying the violence is okay on some sides of the equation, but not when it happens against them. So it's a crazy thing. All right, we got to shift the final part of this conversation about what's wrong with public education to making God the issue once and for all in public education. How do we shift this? What is this, some solutions? Here, we got to bring some solutions up.
There's only one solution, and that's to make God the watershed issue. We have to push this insane again and again and again. You can't get from survival of the fittest to love your neighbor. You have to start with what Jesus said, love your neighbor. You have to start with God, who God is, and that's the only way you get to love your neighbor. Look, that's the point of this podcast, is to teach people how to make God the issue. That's the point of the blogs that I write. That's the point of the workshops I do around the country, is to teach people how to make God the issue in every issue, not just in education. But we certainly need to be doing that in education today, tomorrow, and the next day, until finally the culture understands they have a clear choice. Right now, the culture doesn't understand what the choice is, and therefore there's despair. We need to give them that choice.
Where do we make God the issue in this public education conversation? Are you suggesting we do it at school board meetings? Are you suggesting we do it with teachers? I mean, I'm looking for some action points, because this is a big organization. Public education is monstrous and is well-funded. Where do we start this conversation?
Wherever we are today, we start it with our neighbors. We start it with our coworkers. We start it at the PTA meetings. We start at the school board meetings, saying, how are you going to get from survival of the fittest to teaching our kids that violence is wrong? And let that question hang there. And then say, obviously, you can't. And then just to close loop saying, if God doesn't exist, then morality is a fairy tale, just like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. We need to change the conversation and inject God back into the conversation and force the other side to say why they don't want to put God back in.
Those are powerful words, which we're going to end the podcast today. Brad Bright, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate being here.
And thanks for all of you listeners for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember to check us out online, please. There's lots of resources out there at brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. Remember, even in this conversation, which is so frustrating, involves all our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, remember, always be kind, always be compassionate, always be shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.